Anno van Demeltrot was born in the Dutch East Indies and was 6 years old when the Japanese occupation of World War II began. In Darkness in Paradise, author Gloria van Demeltrot, Anno's wife, tells her husband's story from the unique view of a young boy in the midst of darkness in his paradise. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
Oh, thank you. Welcome. Absolutely. I'm delighted to be on the show and happy you called.
Well, we have talked for quite a while trying to get this together because I know your son. I worked with him for years.
I know Mark, and that's great.
So anyway, the other thing that I know is that you have some roots here in Northfield. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, delighted to. And I think I moved there, and I'm certainly dating myself, when I was in high school in the late 1950s. My father was the manager of what was then the Odd Fellows Home and is now called Three Links. And if you think I had moved from Hopkins, I thought I was dying and going not to heaven because all of a sudden I'm moving into what was called an old people's home.
Yeah.
It was quite an experience. And going into it from a miserable perspective, I learned so much from those people. I worked in the dining room through high school and got to know people. I would walk back to our apartment in the evening, and the old men would call to me from the pool room, and they taught me to play pool.
Funny.
So it was an exciting, wonderful place to live, and I gained a terrific perspective about appreciating what older people had to say. And now that I'm sort of in that ball court myself, I'm understanding it more. But even as a very young person, I love to hear what older people had to say.
And you know, that is so fascinating because your passion is legacy writing.
And absolutely.
Having written, you say, more than 100 life stories for hospice patients?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. That's what a unique experience you have had, and what a way to touch people's lives.
It's been a wonderful thing. In fact, I'm working on a story right now as we speak. These are things that I do on a volunteer basis. I meet with the patient, interview them. Usually 2, 3, 4 times is enough, and then we write a story. It's not a book. It's a story about their life. And their families and the patients themselves appreciate them so much because invariably they tell me things they've never told anyone. And I dig into their childhoods, which are just precious memories for their families, which they would never have learned about.
Right. And because they never thought to tell anybody.
Exactly. Exactly right. And these are just, they have turned out just beautifully. I love doing it. I feel like that's my mission in life.
And you know, that's really such a wonderful gift to give to the family, to have that living history, that story that, you know, I talked about this with another writer who is actually doing a story on her grandfather who lived through World War II in Germany.
Oh, wonderful. Do you know that I really feel like this is what I was born to do these stories. And that's how I got started on my husband Anno's story. To write the book Darkness in Paradise, it wasn't starting out to be a book. It was supposed to be a story for his children. Yeah. After having done many life stories for others at that point, I started talking with him, and I was so fascinated by his background. And I said, oh, no, do your children really know this? Ono and I are a second marriage, and so we've been married 14 years now. And when we were talking about this, I said, do your children really know what you went through as a child during the war? And he said, oh, I don't know if they're interested.
Oh.
Well, I said, I certainly am, and I think we need to capture these stories. What about doing a story the way I do the other life stories? Shall we just start one, see how it goes? And he was agreeable, so we started sitting outside on our patio with my little recorder, And I'd ask him questions, and the memories just flowed from the man. His memory is amazing. For way back when he was a child, he just remembered incredible things that are in the book. It's a delightful story, really. World War II stories are often very grim and terrible. It was a horrible time for many. Mm-hmm. And he remembers it from a child's point of view, and we thought this would be great to capture. And as it turned out, then we kept going on and on with our interviews, and the stories kept coming. And I finally said, "Oh no, this is more than a story. This needs to be read by many." And so decided to make it into a book, and that's how Darkness in Paradise came about.
And it is amazing. I have been obviously reading the book, Darkness in Paradise. My guest is Gloria Van Demeltrot. And the war has started in Europe, and people are starting to prepare for the Japanese. You really capture Anno's child voice as he describes the beginning of the occupation to the point where he's recalling the sights and even the smells.
That's a fascinating thing to me. Smells are important to him, and he remembers to this day, and the man is in his early 80s now, and he remembers the sounds, the feelings, the smells. I tell a story in the book about Japanese overcame the Dutch East Indies very quickly in the beginning of the war. And this was in about the end of February 1942. And trucks were rolling through the town with the dirty, dusty soldiers on the trucks, and they were triumphant because they had captured the larger cities. And they're rolling through the town. Ono was standing on the street with his mother watching these terrifying vehicles loaded with soldiers driving by. And all of a sudden, one of those trucks stopped. And they were looking and pointing at Ono, who was a little boy standing there with his mother, and they kept motioning him to come over. Mm-hmm. And his mother is terrified, doesn't know what to do. And finally, Ono looks at her, and she said, "It looks like you have to do this." So he walked over to the truck, and these men are patting his hair, looking at him. He's unusual in that he has blue eyes.
Yeah.
He's part Indonesian, part Dutch, and he has blue eyes. They were looking at this little black-haired boy with bright blue eyes, and one man took out his billfold and showed him a picture of his child.
Oh, wow.
Back in Japan. And they looked at him, they patted his hair, and pretty soon they all climbed on the truck and away they went, and Ono walked back across the street to his mother.
You know, as you're telling this, I'm sitting here on pins and needles just for Ono's mom.
I know, and thinking, well, his mother had no idea, and he was too young, and
sure.
It was the incident was too strange for him to be afraid. He was just doing what he was told.
And, you know, isn't that an interesting perspective as
it
you
is.
Talk about that? Because children don't have that fear, and in a way that sort of cloaks them to a point where they're almost safer because they don't have that fear.
Exactly. And stories like that. The book, the beginning of the book, has several stories like that. How the family survived through the war. His father was taken away immediately to prison of war camp, and his mother and Ono's brother Hubert had to survive the war. They lived with other family members. Everything was taken away. His father owned a motorcycle repair or motorcycle shop, and that all businesses and all monies were confiscated. So they had nothing to live on.
Wow.
And it's quite an interesting story throughout the book of how they lived. They moved around from house to house. They did have to pay some sort of rent to somebody for the places they lived in, but they had so little money, and no one had any money.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a fascinating story.
It is indeed. We're talking with Gloria Van Demeltrot. She is the author of Darkness in Paradise, and I've been calling Mr. Van Dummeltrot, Anno, mm-hmm. but it's Ono.
Well, it's Anno. Anno is correct. Yes.
Anno is correct. Okay.
Yes.
I want to make sure I get that right. All right. Well, his life just sounded, you know, kind of idyllic as you start out. And then you also have a part in the book where his mother sees this brilliant red sunset and shudders.
Yes. They were outside. I wish I had that flagged here. But they were outside the motorcycle shop that his father had standing on the street. And suddenly she looked at that end of the street and the sun was setting and it was brilliant red. It looked like blood leaching from a wound. And she said, "Oh, this is terrible." She said, "It means that war is coming."
Wow.
He said he remembered her feeling. She was so distressed when she said this that it was bone-chilling for him to hear this. And at that time, he was 6 years old.
Oh,
my. 6 years old.
Yeah. And now what's interesting, too, now how many years... It was 2 years, 3 years of the time span where the Japanese were there. I can't remember.
Yes. It was 4 years.
Four years. Okay.
Yes. They came right immediately. The war in Europe started earlier. That was like in 38, 39.
Mm-hmm.
The United States got in it in December of 41. And then in February of 42 is when the Japanese occupied the Dutch East Indies, which eventually, after the war, then became Indonesia.
Yeah, okay.
And his father then was in the prisoner of war camp for 4 years.
And now there were times when he was able to see his father at first, because his father would be out for a while, then he'd have to go back.
Well, that was just a few days in the very beginning. It was only a few days. And then he had to go to camp. He had to go off and stay at the camp. And then they did not see him for 4 years.
Yeah.
At one point, when he first went into the camp, it was local, right there in their city of Bandung on the island of Java. And Onawat was able to go in to see him, and only because he was a child. If he had not been a child, if he'd been older, they would have kept him there at the camp. Uh-huh. But he was able to go in and hug his father, and he said he remembered feeling his father kneeling in front of him and holding him in his arms, and how precious that was. And then when Ono left and waved goodbye, he didn't see him again for 4 years.
Unreal. Yeah.
Yeah, and then his father was sent to other camps. There were, I think, the last one was in Sumatra, on the island of Sumatra.
I have to tell folks, you really get this book, Darkness in Paradise by Gloria Van Dummeltrot. Now, we can get this on Amazon, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can get it through Amazon. You can get it through my website, GloriaVan.com.
Okay, and I'll have all that information, too, on our website.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And other questions, Terry?
Yes, because there's so much to this story. And one of the things that I found fascinating was his premonitions.
Oh.
And can you just touch briefly on that?
Well... Oh, my. There is a chapter in the book on black magic. There, mm-hmm. Indonesia is old. It's an old, old country.
Yes.
There's a lot of superstition, black magic involved mm-hmm. there. And it is felt throughout the country.
So that's...
And I don't know if that had something to do with it, but when he was younger... There was a period of time when he felt like he could predict. He knew what was going to happen
mm-hmm.
in some of these fearsome, fearful events that happened through his younger life.
And you do kind of get the feeling that it is that there's just something there, because there's some other things that you talk about with the bird of death and black magic, and we won't get into that because I want folks to get the book.
That's an interesting chapter.
Oh,
they they have that what they call the Wayung puppets there that tell the puppet stories, and they tell stories of the history of Indonesia. And in the beginning of the book, I do talk about how the whole area came about. There are over 18,000 islands in what is now called Indonesia, and that has been a very early part of the world. And as I said, there's superstition and lots of tradition that follows in during the development of that country. And that they were called the Spice Islands.
Yes.
In our history, we knew them as the Spice Islands, mm-hmm. and ships would go off and load up with spices and come back to Holland and to Europe, countries and cities in Europe with their spices to sell.
Oh, just an amazing, amazing story. And what was the difference? You know, I know obviously the story was different, but in working with Anno as opposed to the other people that you've worked with.
Yes. Well, part of it is his amazing memory.
Yeah.
And many of the people that I do stories for are ill, and their memories aren't quite as accurate. And part of it is that we spent a lot of time on this. We the hospice stories I do within a few weeks,
uh-huh.
but this we worked on for many months, and I kept digging. He would tell a story. I'd go Google it, look up a little information about it, and then he'd say, oh, that's right, that reminds me, and then he'd tell me another fantastic story.
Wow.
So as they lived throughout the war, there were they came in contact with many different kinds of people, some helpful, some not quite so helpful, mm-hmm. but there are some fascinating stories. There's one I might mention here,
yes.
where Arnold's mother was very helpful to the Indonesian natives, and he told the story of a young man coming to her asking for something to help his baby that was sick. And she ended up giving him some aspirin, just mm-hmm. plain aspirin. Well, it took that baby's fever down, and the baby lived, and the man was forever grateful. Well, later on, after when there were some really atrocities happening in the city, Anno and his family were running down the street, fleeing, bullets flying all around them. They were carrying their mattresses on their heads and running in terror because they were being pursued. And this man that his mother had helped save his sick baby took them in his home. He grabbed them and pulled them into his house and led them to safety.
Yeah.
So what goes around comes around, isn't that right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
That's the story of that. But there are many instances like that told in the book. And many, even today, when we talk about it, Ono said, oh, I should have told you the story about so-and-so, and then he'll start on another one. So,
oh,
so
my
he's
gosh.
Still doing it.
So does that mean there's another book coming?
I don't know that there'll be another one like that. But.
Well, Gloria, this has been just wonderful having the opportunity to talk with you and to share Darkness in Paradise with the listeners. And I really encourage folks to get out there and read this book. It is fascinating. Darkness in Paradise. And it's anybody's dad, you know. It's sort of a story that it's so rings so true to the heart. You really have a gift at pulling
that
out.
Thank you, Carrie. Mm-hmm. I was very heartened because I got a comment, an email actually, from Tom Brokaw, who is a World War II enthusiast. He collects many books and memorabilia.
Uh-huh.
And someone had given him this book to read, and he said, I learned so much about World War II that I had no idea. He didn't know.
Wow.
So he was delighted to get it. And another thing is just earned an award. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that the book earned the 2017 Award for Excellence in Independent Publishing by New Apple.
Wow.
Well, that was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Oh, Gloria, thank you so much for your time. I'll give you one last question, and then we need to wrap it up. But what's next for you?
Oh, my. Terry, I am actually writing a piece of fiction right now.
Oh.
I have a new cozy mystery coming out very soon, actually. Because I write so much about real things, and I have four nonfiction books out, I decided for fun I'd try some fiction, and am I ever having a ball. It's what's called a cozy mystery.
Okay.
Is one that's sort of like Agatha Christie.
Uh-huh.
The protagonist is an amateur, not a professional detective or anything.
Sure.
And it is just fun, and it's coming out in just a few weeks, I think.
Okay. Well, you know what that means.
Well,
I need a book, and we need to get back on the air then.
I hope so.
All
this
right.
This has been delightful, Terry. Thank you so much. I don't know that we covered just a fraction of what's in the book, because it does tell about the war itself, too. So,
yes.
I hope that people are intrigued enough.
Oh, I think so. And that's what we want. We want the folks to be intrigued and to get Darkness in Paradise by Gloria Van Demeltrot. Again, thank you so much for your time.
You are welcome. Thank you for calling. Delighted to be on the show.